Hallelujah. Well, this is going to be exciting for me. I'm so eager to hear this morning's message. I'll be listening along with the rest of you. I'm excited. All I know is where to start. good morning. Open up to Ephesians chapter 3. This is the verse. This is the start of this prayer that Paul would... He kept praying for the church at Ephesus, and I'm sure he prayed this for everyone. I guess we'll read the whole prayer. Starting in Ephesians 3:14. Now, the verse that I'm really after is verse 17. This is the one I've kept hearing again and again. But starting in Ephesians 3:14, Paul says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole," what's that next word? "Family, in heaven and earth is named." Do you know it was that verse a quarter of a century ago or so that broke the truth of that statement across my brain. The daylight broke in, you know. Real Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a family. That's what Abraham was after. He wanted an heir. He wanted children born of his own flesh. God wanted children born of his own spirit. He said, "Abraham, you and I should make a covenant. It'll produce the heirs that you're wanting produced from your body. One day through my son, it'll produce the children born of my spirit. Let's make a covenant together." Neither of them were interested in starting a religion. Christianity is not a religion. They'll sometimes say Christianity is one of the three great religions of the world. No. Christianity is not a religion at all. Christianity is a family. And it's interesting that he would start off with that verse. I didn't even realize this being Father's Day. I didn't pick that verse. The verse I was hearing is verse 17. But it's interesting. His wisdom. Father's Day. We come to verse 15. Let's start in 14 again. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." And in my King James Bible, that's a capital S there. That's not the subject. You can tell it by the next verse. That should be a little S. Because in the next verse he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. What is that when Christ comes to dwell in you? What spirit is that? That's what we call the new birth. That's that spirit that quickened you from death to life. That's the very nature that he put in you. He took out that old stony heart. He put in a heart of flesh so that you no longer have to look to his commandments written on stone by his finger. No, you look now inward to the new man, to that heart on the inside, and you know God's law by nature. It's who you are. Now, you put those two verses together, see, because it is true. You can get in a prayer line when we have what we call a grace line here. I can't really find that in Scripture, a grace line. But I have been in them enough to know they're real. How many have you got in one of those line and you were stronger after? So there's a dual meaning here. There's a what he's really talking about in verses 16 and 17 together. God does strengthen you by his Spirit. So look at it again. "That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with" what? "Strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." In the inner man. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts" automatically. Yes, sir. Keep your place right there and go to Romans 6. I remember my battle with Romans 6. And for me, this is just a good illustration. The battle at the time was I was smoking like a freight train. Born again, spirit-filled. Dave was even letting me preach here at the church. We were even doing a little traveling ministry. And those were the days when my ears would drip with Febreze because Sue didn't want us, you know, we weren't flaunting it or anything, you know. We just didn't know how to be free, you know. And I did everything that came along. We tried the nicotine gum. We tried the patches. We tried everything in the world. But the reason that's coming up, I'm not really talking about smoking. What I'm talking about is Christ dwelling in our hearts. But notice, it's by faith. It is by faith. I kept waiting for the day to come when when his nature would overtake me automatically. I just wake up one day and I don't sin anymore. I don't smoke anymore. I don't worry anymore. All of those are sins, by the way. Quiet when I include worry. Nobody likes it. I just thought automatically. And you know why you think that is because you are automatically a sinner. I never had trouble sinning when I was a sinner. I never had trouble with that. I mean, I just sinned automatically. But see, the new nature, it's real. It's more, I'll be honest with you, can I say it this way? It's even more real than the sin nature, and I know how real it was. Now, the reason I can say that, it says, sin reigned by one. How much did it reign? Through sin, death reigned by one. Remember that? Death reigned by one. How much did it reign? How much of the human race did it reign in? 100%. And in my life, pretty much, as I look back in those days, death reigned, boy, about 100%. But it says in that same verse, much more. Much more than 100%? Much more, they which receive the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace. Now, keep that phrase in mind, the abundance of grace. They shall reign, R-E-I-G-N, rule and reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Remember that? Sin reigned automatically. I didn't have to wake up in the morning and go, I'm going to be a really good sinner today. Did y'all do that? I am a sinner. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to be a good sinner. I'm going to sin like crazy today. It was just automatic. See, and that's why it was easy once I got... I walked the aisle when I was 7 years old in a Baptist church. I'll never forget it all the days of my life. I know I was changed. I heard the Lord's voice after that day. I didn't hear it before. I heard it after. And for a long time, I walked with God as a young man. Long time meaning 4 or 5 years. But the doctrine that I was being taught, now doctrine is so important. People like to say, I don't want to hear doctrine. I just want goosebumps and miracles. You're about to be led down a primrose path. That's the path where even the very elect shall be deceived right there. They were astonished at Jesus' doctrine. Paul left Timothy at the church at Ephesus for the express purpose that he let no one preach any other doctrine than what Paul had established there. Well, coming back to this, the doctrine that I received in those days was, you are just, yes, you're saved, yes, you've been saved by the blood of the Lamb, yes, Christ is your Lamb, you're on your way to heaven, you're no longer in darkness, you're in the light. They would say all those things, but then over the course of time, they would pound it into you, you're just an old sinner saved by grace. And if you believe that, you're never going to receive the abundance of his grace. You might receive the gift of righteousness, all right, where you are accounted righteousness, like Abraham was in the Old Testament. You receive accounted righteousness. But see, that's Old Testament salvation. They would walk away after the sacrifice of their physical lamb, which pointed to the lamb. It wasn't that physical lamb that God was looking at. It was looking towards the day when the lamb would come. They would walk away from that sacrifice forgiven, but not changed. Well, that's mercy. That's mercy. God did not just bestow mercy upon us. It says, let us come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, all right. You do obtain mercy. And find grace to help. That's what really in Ephesians he's talking about, that you be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Why? To help you walk like a child of God, like the child of God you really are. You are not that same old sinner. But see, when I believe that, if doctrine is pounded into you and the guy standing there is supposed to know what he's talking about. And we went to 17 different churches. I told you I looked in Mom's Bible. I thought it was 13. 17 times we moved before the 7th grade. And bless their darling hearts, they'd always find a church, man. We'd go. But it was the same flavor of church, and I got the same doctrine in every one of them. You're just an old sinner saved by grace. So if you believe that, Romans 6 is just blind to you. You're just blind to you. So let's look at Romans 6 here, because we're... The subject now is Christ may dwell in your hearts. Now notice, by faith. By faith he dwells there. Now does that make it not real? Oh honey, it's the most real thing you'll ever find in your life. God's whole operation is by faith. You receive from God by faith. This is why he wouldn't let me write anything down. Because I've too many places to go. See, got to stay on track. Well, what shall we say then? Shall we continue? See, and then, what shall we say then? He, based on everything he said, so start in Romans 1. We'll let you out at 4. But it's hard to start right here. I mean, these previous chapters are so loaded with revelation knowledge. You know, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, God who justifies the ungodly. That right there will get you thrown out of the church I grew up in. He justifies the ungodly. You know what? God is your justifier. I've lived on that verse for 20 years, man. Until Dave started taking us down the born-again trail. I started getting some real light. God justifies the ungodly. I said, that's what I need. There's my verse right there, because I'm pretty ungodly myself. Now, that's not my confession now, but it was then. Saved my life. Now, I'm just talking about smoking because it's easy. I mean, we can all relate to that one, okay? Like Dave says, smoking won't send you to hell, just make you smell like you've been there. Anyway. But better is a creep that prays and a creep that doesn't pray, and I don't care what you're involved with. I don't care what it is, see? All right. Verse 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And this next verse was just blind to me. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin? Puff, puff. Smoke, smoke. That cloud that followed me around was not the Shekinah glory. I used to smoke like crazy in that little ugly building, little 10 by 12 building. In the wintertime, you got to keep the door shut. Windows closed. One time, a friend of mine came over there, and I'd been shut up in there for about 3 hours. You know, I got to where I could take it pretty good. Can't hardly breathe. He opened the door, and this cloud comes. It was so strong, it made him woozy. He goes, what are you doing in there? I said, honey, that ain't the anointing. That ain't the anointing, I'm telling you right now. That's not the Shekinah glory right there. It's a nicotine haze, man. You know, God would just talk to me during those days. Do you know most of the face-to-face things, that's where it was during that time? Our Father is so much better than religion has painted him. He loves you right in the midst of where you are. He has not withdrawn himself from you. He has not abandoned you. That's the enemy telling you all that. He is your best friend. His son has already died for you. He has already paid the... Do you know in Isaiah when it says... In Hebrews it talks about, I will remember thy sins no more. But in Isaiah it says, where he talks about he blots out your sin. Do you know what he says? For my own sake. He says, for my own sake I blot out your sin. You know why? He wants fellowship with you in your messes. Oh, no, that'll get you thrown out of the church. Yeah. Now, It's true. Sin separates the fellowship. That, you know what's sad? Here we go. See, this is why he wouldn't let me write anything down. You know, it's so sad about the prodigal son story. In that particular parable now, it's a type of the father, all right. But in that story, he had two sons. One went completely out into the world, as you know, and later on he came back. And the other son was the religious son. In other words, he stayed in the fields and he never went, you know, like that. He was in the fields. He's really a type of the Pharisees. But you really think about the father, he's got two sons, and he had no fellowship with either one to speak of. The one, he leaves and goes into the world. The other one, he gets involved in religion. And you can tell he doesn't spend any time with his father because he doesn't know his father's heart at all. Here the father says, "Son, all that I ever had is yours." And he didn't know his father well enough to even know that. How sad for our father. I wonder how many days I've gotten too busy to have fellowship with him, even too busy in my father's fields. Too busy to have any time for my father. It's Father's Day. I guess you are having a Father's Day message. It's a Father's Day message, but talking about God our Father. Well, let's go back to Romans 6 here for a minute. Really, I think what I'm going to have to do, because again, for time's sake, let's come on down to verse 7. This is all good, but it's just, we don't have time. He that is dead is freed from sin. Now, at the time, I'm trying to get free from smoking. You might be dealing with something else. I'm not even going to list stuff. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, you're free from it. I was free from it. I was free from it for all those years that I smoked. But if you don't know you're free, you can't walk in the freedom. And that's why Dave is so correct when he says, look, God will walk through hell with you. He will, with your faults. Just don't start justifying them. Don't start saying it's not sin when it is. And don't start giving up hope like, okay, I'm just going to be his smoking child till the day I die, which I felt like that, but after Dave said it, I didn't say that anymore. Could be overeating, could be gossip, could be worry, could be pornography, could be other things. He that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. I'd read that and go, puff, puff, yeah, I wish I did. Wish I did, you know, it's like I'd die 1,000 deaths a day. Can't get free from this. In that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, in other words, in that same way, reckon, that's an accounting term. You account yourself. In the balance ledger, put free. Account yourself also to be dead indeed unto sin. Puff, puff, puff. Nicotine patch, nicotine patch, nicotine gum, nicotine gum. Throw away cigarettes again. Have Dave pray for me again. I forget who all, every one of them threw most of those lines I did. I was too ashamed to carry my cigarettes in my pocket up there. One or two of them I forgot, and they stomped on them, you know, early days. Stop at the Quick Trip on the way home, buy some more. Sometimes I'd make it a whole 24 hours before I had to do that. Not very often. I wasn't even that strong. So we're talking about strengthening in the inner man by his spirit. But that spirit is the spirit of Christ. It's the new nature. But it dwells in your heart by faith. See, by faith. And so, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And here's the verse, verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. Now, if you back up here a few chapters, I can't go directly to the verse. I could probably find it quickly, but it says, those that receive the gift of righteousness. He's already said this earlier in this same letter. The gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace, they shall reign. Same word, reign, R-E-I-G-N, through one, Jesus Christ. And here it says, let not sin therefore reign. So one or the other is reigning. Now you can be reigning, righteousness can be reigning in one area of your life, and sin can be reigning in another area of your life. Gary, how do you know that? Going on to verse 12. No. Well, you know it too. You know it too. Maybe you've had an old habit. I mean, one habit I've never fallen back to at all is drinking. I took my last drink, and I trust me, I was a real good... I'm talking about alcohol, not orange juice. I was a virtual alcoholic for 10 years. Had my last drink in 1980. And for me, now I'm not... I don't preach teetotaling. I really don't, you know. But for me, I'm a teetotaler. For me, I'm just better off without the stuff. So for me, see, righteousness in that area has reigned continuously without a single flaw since 1980. I took my last drink in 1980. I've never had another one. Well, I've had other areas like smoking. Let's just take smoking. Man, I haven't reigned there. I didn't reign there for years and years and years. It was way tougher. I didn't have any problem with alcohol, really, but getting, you know, withdrawals. But man, smoking took forever. So I'm reading that and I'm saying, just don't let it sin. It's like, just don't let it. But if you've been indoctrinated for years and years and years that you're just an old sinner saved by grace, he loved you, he forgave you, but you're not changed. Come on, you know who you are. You ever hear that voice? Yeah, that's the devil. I tell you, the whole church doesn't know who we are. Again, that's why he's had me do those in him confessions. You want to know who you are? We only have the right to let the great I am tell us who we am. Bad English, but good doctrine. You have to let the great I am tell you who you are, who you am. That's the reason for those in him confessions. That's who you are. That is the truth. That truth will change your facts. It will. Because God's power is in his word. But it's not in his word sitting on your coffee table in a book. It is, but the power is not released that way. That's potential power. In engineering, they talk about potential power and kinetic power. All that potential power, you have a big giant dam, you know, it's holding back this just millions of acres of water, acre feet of water. And there's all of this potential energy, but it won't light a single light bulb. Not until you start letting the water flow through the dam. And that power starts, that water starts turning the blades of the turbine. Only then does it become kinetic energy. And that's when power is generated. You have got to, how much potential energy is in you? Well, how much is in God? That's the potential energy. How much energy is in Christ that's in you? But he's in us like this, like the water behind the dam. It doesn't become power till it begins to flow. And how do you release it? One way you can do it is the tongue. The tongue starts letting that word of God start flowing out of you. And it starts, this is who I am. I am a new, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. I remember when I took Romans 6 and I just made every verse, I made a present tense confession. And even though it made no sense to me at all, I was still smoking like a freight train. I would just start saying like verse 11, I reckon myself dead indeed unto sin. I am alive unto God through Jesus Christ my Lord. I do not let sin, puff, 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 therefore reign in my mortal body. What's happening? I'm starting to let that potential energy become kinetic energy. I'm starting to let that power of God. See, it's always the same way. You believe in the heart and you say with the mouth. If you believe in your heart that God raised Christ from the dead and with the mouth you confess that Jesus is your Lord, you shall be saved. It's in the heart and in the mouth. In the heart and in the mouth. Same thing here. Well, anyway, let's get back to our subject. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it. in the lust thereof. Now see, it's a great day when it dawns on you that war is not going to end till you get a new body, Christian or no Christian. That's partly why it's not automatic. Sin was automatic. I didn't have to wake up and try to be a good sinner today. My spirit in those days, when as a sinner, my spirit and my body were in total agreement. My mind was in mostly in agreement. The only thing that kept it being in full agreement was the artificial conscience that my mom and daddy spanked into me. Because the truth of the matter is, if you grew up in the wild, if you grew up as a wolf boy, raised by wolves, you know, hey, it's survival of the fittest, you know. I mean, it's the law of the jungle. They found headhunters, you know. Headhunters, these are humans that have been degraded down to the point of being like animals, you know, and to pass as a from a boy to a man, you know, the rite of passage. You had to bring home the head of your enemy. And they thought that was a good thing. Now there's the soul in agreement with a dead spirit and a body that agrees with sin. Right there. See? That's pretty much the fulfillment of it. Let not sin reign. I'd read that and I go, how do I not let it reign? How do I not let it? So I'm thinking, well, it's got to get better. No, it gets worse. Go to verse 13. It says, neither yield ye your members. Your members, that's not talking about your church members. It's talking about your body members. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. So what does that tell you? What's your choice again? Verse 12 tells you don't let sin reign. In verse 13 he's saying, well, don't yield. It's the same thing. But he's telling you, you have the choice. And I'm going, I don't feel like I have the choice. Every time I try and quit, my body nearly kills me. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. See, there's so much in that verse right there. You're not even of the same species as Adam, alive from the dead. Right there's the whole born again trail in a sentence. Alive from the dead. There's your lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you're in Christ, you're not even of that same. You talk about the false doctrine. You're still that same old sinner saved by grace. That is the most false doctrine. There's nothing in the New Testament that agrees with that at all. You are not that same old sinner. You have been born of the Spirit of the living God. There is a new creature. You are a new creature with a new life on the inside of you. And that life is Christ. But Christ dwells. He lives in your heart. I want to emphasize by faith. By faith. If you're still going to always be led by your feelings like I was for all of those years, I could have quit the first day that I was born again if I had had the right teaching. And if I knew how to pray and how to build up my spirit. See, we still have Jude. Do y'all know Jude 20 is still in your Bible? Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Well, I wish I knew how to do that. Thank God it doesn't end there. Praying in the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost is your tutor, your mentor. He is your instructor. He is the one when you're praying in other tongues. He is literally building you up on your most holy faith. He is strengthening you, quickening you. I'll tell you another thing that does it. That's eating the right food. Jesus said, my words are spirit. My words are life. Feeding on the New Testament. Feeding on the words of Jesus. Just like physical food strengthens your physical body, spirit food strengthens your spiritual man. Glory to God. Amen. That's good stuff right there. Hallelujah. Well, Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That's a good one. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Now here it is. For you are not under the law, but under grace. Doesn't that sound great? Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. But Romans 8, you get more light. He's still headed towards Romans 8. Romans 8, he says, well, you're not under the law if. How many knows what's after the if? Yes, this is a test. How many know? If you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now again, that has a capital S. In the subject line there, he is not talking about the Holy Ghost. There is a leadership that comes by the Holy Ghost. We teach on that all the time. But in the context in Romans 8, what he's talking about, if you be led by that new nature, that's that same one in Ephesians, strengthened with might in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. It's talking about the new nature. If you learn to be led by that Spirit, let's say it this way. If you learn to be led by the new nature, let's say it this way. If you learn to be led by Christ in you, is that better? Then you're not under the law. But what if I'm not? You're under the law. Ah, no, I'm not, Gary. I'm divorced from the law and married to another. Well, you're an unfaithful wife then. I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. In that situation where I was an unfaithful wife. I'm married to Christ. I'm truly born again. I'm supposedly not under the law. I'm divorced from the law. So, because, you know, the law is dead unto me. The law is dead to me. Read Romans 7. That comes after. This is deep, calleth unto deep. Romans 7 comes after Romans 6. Romans 8 come after. Anyway. Well, but if I'm married to Christ and Christ says I'm free from sin and I go over with the flesh and just sin away, what would you say about that wife? Harlot. Unfaithful. Adulterer. Gary. Boy, shouting in here, I tell you. These are the struggles I'd go with, don't you? When y'all read the Bible, don't y'all have wars like this? And I'm reading this when I wasn't. And I'm going, you know, that's why people quit. I'm leaving this church. I'm going to the first church. At least they told me he loved me. We always say they told me I was okay. Well, they didn't necessarily do that, but they said he loved you. And he does. But he loves us too much to leave us the way we are. He didn't. If it was just forgiveness and leave you still be that same old sinner, Christ didn't really have to die. Abraham had that under the old covenant. He had accounted righteousness. Didn't change his nature, but he was righteous in front of God because God, he believed God, and it said it was accounted unto him for righteousness. We could back up to Romans 4. And Romans 4 says, if you work, it's not of grace. If you work, it's by wages. You know, but Abraham had it by grace, meaning he didn't have to work for it. He just believed God, and it was, quote, accounted unto him to righteousness. Well, that's Old Testament salvation, accounted righteousness, but not changed to walk righteous. See? Well, Christ didn't have to die if that's all God wanted for us, leave us that same old sinner and just be forgiven. You know, the revival that is coming is for my children walking with Christ in them, supreme over all that is not of me. God. Okay, I'm done. That's it. Did you hear that? Not a gifts revival. Not a revival where you do get somebody out of you open. Jamie, raise your hand. Here's my beloved friend Jamie. Loves God, loves this church, loves Dave. She even loves me. Can you believe that? And she's blind. And we've prayed for her, done everything we know to do. Shouted, jumped, spit, cursed the devil. Anointed with oil, laid hands on, drug her around. And she's probably had that done other places too. And at this point, neither here nor anywhere that we know we can take her, because if I knew where we could take her, we'd go. But at this point, Jamie, can you see? Now, I don't want to make a bad confession. At this moment, she can't see. Do you think, what would Jesus say? Now, come on, church. You walk in here, he goes, oh, that's okay. I know you tried really hard. You shouted really nice. You think that's what he'd say to us? I'll pick on me. He'd walk right over to me. He'd walk right over to me and look me right in the eyes. He wouldn't be proud of me for laboring in his fields. And I mean, I'm just saying, that's not acceptable. That's not okay. We're starting, he's talking today about walking free from sin, but people, that is the beginning, not the end of this thing. He's, what he's after is people that can not only get Jamie out of that situation, but then we won't, in the next breath, be selling prophecies for no $300, cutting our shirts up into 1-inch squares and selling them for $100 a piece. Go down to the Arkansas, get some sand out of the river and tell you it's from the River Jordan. Come on. There's been enough of that malarkey. Sprinkle you with gold dust, leave you in the chair. What kind of gospel is that? Keep the gold dust. Get me out of the chair, please. That's where we're going. You know, and I know Jesus, he'd walk over. How is it you have no faith? And I go, I don't know. See, yes, sir. When it comes to that, my heart goes back to that same place where it was at Romans 6 back there. The question would come to me, I'd read that chapter and I'd still be smoking and bound up in my sin. I don't know what yours is. Maybe you're free. I hope you are. But that same feeling would come, how can you continue in sin? And I go, I don't know. I love Jesus, give my whole life to him. Serve him best I know how. And then I've got that stinking, stupid, crazy habit. And you know what I'm hearing right now? He says, that to him, getting Jamie free is no more difficult than getting free from the smoking. It's the same Christ. It's the same God. It's the same Holy Ghost. He told me years ago when we're walking in the revival. That's right. Let's pause right there. When we are walking in the revival, not if. He told me years ago, when you are walking in the true revival, that true anointing, you'll look back on these days and you'll just laugh that you ever thought it was so hard. I look back on that. How many years? Good God. 1980 is when Michael Buccio led me to the Lord. 1980. All those years I continued to smoke. I look, now it's been a decade since, you know, it's been many, many years without it. And I look back on it and I go, how could I have been so, how could I ever have thought that was so hard to walk free? We're going to have that same attitude towards revival. All these miracles just flowing like water, just normal, because that's what God calls normal. You know, Jesus thinks it's absolutely normal. Not even, I don't think they're called miracles in heaven. I think Jesus just calls it church. For a Jamie to come in blind and leave seeing. I don't think God calls it hard. I don't think he thinks it should be unusual. I think he thinks it should be normal. That's just church. That's what Christ in us does, anointed by the Holy Ghost. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing Jamie. Because she had been oppressed by the devil. It's not God causing that blindness. And I'm not saying it's literally the devil causing it, but it's the result of the fall. It's a result of the fall. It's not the Father's will. When the Father's kingdom comes and his will be done in Jamie's life, Jamie will be seen. Just that simple. And nothing else is acceptable, to be honest. Well, acceptable. There's, for us, she's brave to sit right on the front row, don't you think? For us, who are called to this revival, there is nothing else acceptable. This level of church is not acceptable. This level where we're walking is not okay. We're rowing in the boat right now. And he would say, how is it you have no faith? How come you can't stop this storm? Aren't you glad you came today? And at the same time, He is our Father. He loves you. I mean, intensely white hot heat loves you. He loves you way more than I love Lily, and I love Lily. God help anybody that tries to damage Lily in any way in my presence. Little thing will just lie to me, and I just love her. What I mean is, you know, she will, though. She's at the age she discovered lying like they all do, you know. Angie's sitting over there. I remember when Angie discovered it. My mama remembers when I discovered it, you know. Nobody has to teach their kids to lie. I've never met a parent yet who taught their kids to lie. Not one of them. And then right on the other hand, they spent the night and most of yesterday with us, and the last thing, of course, the last hour, she ate 2 ice cream cones on the couch, snuggled right up against my chest. Oh, I know how my heart is towards her and Cole. I don't mean to leave Cole out. She's just the littlest one. Cole is just my grandson. My heart, how it feels towards her. Magnify that 1 billion times. That's how He feels towards you. Even if you're lying to Him. Even if you're doing something, you got your hand in the cookie jar. Even if He has to correct you, like I have to correct her. And she, God help anybody that tries to come against her. You talk, hi, Papa is Lily's justifier. Family, see, we start this, whom the whole family, this only makes sense in the light of a family. You'll never get it to make sense in religion. Your religious head will, it'll one day, you'll keep trying to figure this out in a religious way, and your religious head will just disconnect and roll across the floor. It'll just be gone. Because it's not a religion. But I can only reconcile all of these things about God in a family context. That gift of righteousness, you could just as well say it, I think, you're in His family. You're His. It's a gift. I account you righteous. Come here. You are mine. That abundance of grace, though, that grace. See, Dave taught us how long ago? He says, the difference between mercy and grace. You remember the guy? He comes home and he finds the thief walking out the back door with his television set in his hands, caught red-handed. So the owner, he takes his shotgun, rack, rack. And the thief starts begging for mercy. Please let me go. I've got a family at home that's starving. I'm out of work and I got a little baby to feed. I was going to sell this television and get milk money. Please, please let me go. Well, mercy would let the guy go. Okay, just put my television down. I'm not going to shoot you. I'm going to let you go. That's mercy. See, God, if that's all there was, that's Old Testament. That you can be forgiven, just not changed. But Dave, years ago, he says, okay, but after mercy comes grace. Grace not only says, put the TV set down. Grace says, look, I'm not only going to forgive you. I'm not only just going to forgive you. I'm going to adopt you into my family. I'm going to give you my family name. And son, you can have my television. And everything else that I have is yours. That's what God did to us. Not only forgave us, adopted us into His family. And He even did more. See, that a human to that thief, He could not change that thief's nature. He could adopt him. Our grace is really more than that. He says, I'll not only adopt you, I'm not going to adopt you, though, as a sinner. I'm going to adopt you because God has the power to reach right in there and just kill that sin nature. Die. And put the very nature of His Son right on the inside.
Amen.
That's the difference. And that's what I didn't get for years. Read Romans 6. Romans 6, he says, you're not that. That's what Romans 6 is. You are not that same old creature. That spirit of might that he strengthened you with on the inside. That is the very life of Christ when you were born again, but he dwells in there by faith. Why it has to be by faith is you've still got a sin body. You've still got that the motions of sin in your flesh. You've got this body that wants to sin, and it comes natural to it. They've done all these tests. You know, you can take a little baby just when they're old enough to start eating any kind of food other than milk. They've tested it. They give it the broccoli, you know, all crushed up, all smushed baby food. Smushed broccoli. Smushed grapes. Sweet grapes, you know. Which one do you think the baby wants? Grapes. Comes natural. You don't have to teach them. You know, they want the sweet. They want that. See, although the broccoli is what strengthens them, what really gives them their strength. Boy, it's all over the place, but are you getting anything out of this? This is the reason though why it says Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. In Galatians, he said it to him this way. He says, I'm going to have to travail all over again for you. I'm going to travail. Travail means intercession where groanings would come, I think. Real travail. What was his purpose? Till Christ be formed in you. Is he saying they're not saved? No, they're saved. But they were still at that place of being vulnerable to going back under the law of Moses. They were still inexperienced in the ways of righteousness, Hebrews would say. They were still wavering. He says, no, I've got to intercede until Christ be formed in you. It's not that he wasn't there in seed form. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. That, I can't wait to hear that prophecy myself again. His purpose at this church is that Christ, that real life of Christ, be so formed in us, so not just the blade, not just the ear, but come to that full corn in the ear, so mature that everything, blindness, lameness, deafness. They got on the news today. I saw again about that girl that's got that flesh-eating bacteria. You talk about something from hell itself. You think Jesus would put up with that for 2 seconds? We shouldn't either. Christ be so formed in us that everything that we meet that's not of God has to just go, so that God's kingdom come, his will be done in that person's life. That's our calling. And I don't know any other way to get there. I thank God for the day that Sue and I haltingly and afraid to step through the doors of this church. Why were we afraid? We'd been hurt by preachers before. Almost to the point of being afraid to come back to another one. Afraid of being taught wrong again. Afraid of false doctrine again. But I thank God, because it wasn't until we were here. I thank God for Michael. Michael did his best. Now, he taught us about praying in tongues and everything that he knew. But Dave, this was his calling, I think, in life. Or one of his main things was to reestablish to the church who the true teacher of the church is. And that teacher is the Holy Ghost. And until I learned that there was, I tell you, hope began coming back in me again. You mean there's a way I can... Now, I hate to say it. I love you, Dave. He's sitting right over there. You mean there's a way I can learn from God without having to depend on the pastor? Do you know how rare it is to find pastors that are willing to let you go? Many pastors want you under their control. Many ministers, they want you under their control. You want to know something? You come talk to me. You come find out from me. Pastor Dave is just the opposite. He says, I'm really not even your mentor. There's only one mentor. There's only one real teacher. He says, my job is to get you connected to the true teacher. And that teacher is the Holy Ghost. We teach those things which the Holy Ghost teaches. Glory to God. We're not who we think we are. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. I keep hearing that same word again. Well, the day finally came. Dave was so right. I just kept smoking away. The devil would beat my brains out. Condemnation. And every now and then, he doesn't do it so much anymore. It must have been just for me. Every now and then, sprinkle in a message once in a while. I'd be right near desperation, right at the point of giving up. And he'd say again, better is a creep that prays than a creep that doesn't pray. And I went, I qualify for that. I qualify. He says, God will walk through. He'd say it again. God, and sometimes he'd get pretty rough on those cigarettes. You know, he'd say a little something 2 inches long is going to keep you away from the fullness of God. I'm going, I know. I know. But then right near the end of that message, he'd say, but God, he will walk through hell with you, with your faults. Just keep doing those things that you know to do that will one day spell your freedom, spell out your deliverance. And we'd do it again. Choo, 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 right in my ear with the Febreze bottle. Pray as long as we could. Go walk down over the hill. Have a smoke break. Be walking back. Pachoo, 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 you know, right? My ear would be dripping with it Febreze, you know. And then one day, it kept doing the message. See, and it'll be different with you because you've got an infinite God. He's got infinite ways. No two snowflakes are the same. How he deals with you is not the same as how he deals with me. But in my particular case, he actually came to me. I mean, I had a vision. Whether I know it was a vision. I know I didn't go to the third heaven. What did he look like? I can't tell you. But I know it was him. And in my particular case, it was the most wonderful thing. There was no condemnation. I tell you what I felt. I felt love. I felt love. In that little motel room up in New York. And there he was. And he just started talking with me. Like he had nothing else in the universe to do but just spend time with Gary. Smoking away. And he just told me, now in my case, he says, son, you know you and I have a good relationship. You're doing work for me that I've assigned you to do. You know you can come to heaven just like you are. You can come and you'll have a reward. But son, I have things for you to do. I have places for you to go that if you don't deal with this in the flesh, and that's the way he put it to me. If you don't deal with it in the flesh, I just can't send you because they won't listen to anything you have to say. He says, now you'll still come to heaven and you'll have a good reward. But when you get here, and I saw this curtain. He says, I'm going to have to draw back that curtain. There's a window behind it. And I'll have to show you all of the things that was my will for you to do that you never did do because you didn't deal with this in the flesh. Now, I love you. That's your choice. Man, that was a long night after that. I couldn't go to sleep. I was thinking about that. But that night was the last cigarette I ever had. Never had another one. So it was easy on the flesh and you had no problems, right? I'll tell you the truth. That next year and a half was one of the worst, most difficult year and a half. And I know other people that just quit. My mother could always just quit smoking. She'd smoke for 10 years and just lay it down and say, I quit. And she did. She maybe quit for 5 years and then say, I want to smoke for a while. Smoke 5 years, lay it down. My dad tried to do that. My dad is like me. It's all or nothing. You know, it's all or nothing. I can't do that, you know. I couldn't either. That next year and a half, see, he told me I had to deal with it in the flesh. Now, here's one of the most important parts. I started a few minutes late, so. Here's the most important part. I got to tell you, that war did not feel like it was Christ in me doing anything. It felt like it was me doing it. It felt all of those withdrawals. I'm going, how come aren't you supposed to be feeling this and not me? Didn't you already suffer this and not? I'm not supposed to be suffering this. It felt like Gary overcoming. The war felt like it was against me. But I already had all those years of Gary failing. And I kept going. But I was winning this time. I was winning. I was going day after day. Was it hard? Yeah, it was hard as the Dickens. And it felt like me doing it. I'm telling you, it didn't feel like. But it was Christ dwelling in my heart by faith. The Master had come. He had spoken to me. He changed my vision. And something about that empowered me. I know what it was. When he said he's going to have to draw back that curtain and show me, I do love him. The pain associated with that, I was going, my God, I don't think I can stand that. To stand there and him draw back that curtain and show me lives that weren't saved or show me people maybe in hell, because I don't know what's behind that curtain. I don't want to know what's behind that curtain. But I do know this. It wasn't even that. It was the pain of letting him down. I don't know any other way to say it. The pain of choosing my flesh over choosing him. The pain of that future event was stronger than the pain of the withdrawal symptoms. And day by day, day by day, day by day, about a year and a half later, I finally had a day where I went, I never even thought of one. Now I've had traumatic things come over these years since. Used to would have sent me flying to the Quick Trip. Traumatic event, you know. Flying to the Quick Trip. Why? For more sense. Now, Quick Trip is not evil. I don't mean that. That's just where you go buy your cigarettes, you know. Flying to the... And now I get all the way through the traumatic event and be days later and I go, hey! I never even thought of one. I never even thought of it at the worst. And there is such a thing as freedom. The body can be retrained, people. Now, you know, I could train it back. Yeah, I could go wallow in the mire again. Let the pig go, you know, go wallow in the mire like Peter says. But where we have attained, let us therefore walk. Amen. Christ, I'm telling you, this, I'm talking mostly about sin today. But really, where we're going is revival. That same Christ that set us free from sin, that nature on the inside, that strengthening in our inner man. It's that same Christ, that's that anointing by the Holy Ghost. Christ in us, anointed by the Holy Ghost. Jamie, one day, I'm going to walk up to you. And we're going to speak those words. See. And you will see. And people, that's just one. You talk about joy unspeakable and full of glory. What if it's you that day that we go to St. Jude's Hospital in Memphis? And what if we tell you, you empty the third floor? And child by child, it's you. That cancer leaves. You talk about joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is worth whatever price we got to pay. Amen. Amen.